With me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Appreciate the opportunity Pastor gave me to be able to speak tonight. I did a little bit of math here, and so some of our teenagers have been with us for more than six years, and some teenagers have been with us 4 years, so we'll kind of average out at 5 years, but Sunday school 45 minutes a week, and Wednesday nights about an hour and a half together, soul winning on Saturdays 3 hours. It's about 5 hours a week. So we'll assume they didn't make it to everything, so we'll do the math out. And that's about 260 hours a year we spend together just in church. Camp's about 60 hours, give or take, 24 hours a day, just depends how you look at it. Mission trips, when we go on those, they've been about 168 hours together. So in my calculations, about 1,936 hours I've had the opportunity to spend with the seniors, if you average it out. I think, what can I possibly say to our seniors to be a help to them? I told them, we were joking earlier, I said, if I haven't already said it to you, then it probably isn't important. And if I repeat it to you again, you're just going to say, we've heard it already. So tonight I'm going to do something a little bit different. I want to speak to our church, and I want to speak to the teenagers, but I want to speak to our church as a whole. And here's the title of the challenge tonight. The ideal preparation for a life of faithfulness to God. The ideal preparation for a life of faithfulness to God. I want you to consider that we're here at Senior Night tonight, and this marks a momentous occasion for our seniors. Today, I was at the house and going through some old hard drives and looking at pictures, and Jared and I were there together just looking over pictures. And as I was looking back at my kids, they're getting older, I thought, wow, they're getting older already. As I look back at these who are seniors, look at them when they're in seventh grade, I hope you all enjoyed watching them singing and see how tiny they were in the middle. And the kids who are short now were head above them. It's kind of fun to look back and see those memories. But the thing about this, if we could start fresh. Now, if you have a senior tonight, I understand that you're halfway along the journey. And if you are a grandparent, I understand that you're along the journey. If you have young children, you may be beginning the journey. And for some of y'all, you may not have children at all, and this may not be part of the journey. And some of y'all say, I'm not even a parent. Well, you're on the journey. And so I want to ask this question. If we could put together blueprints, if we could put together plans for building something. This is a couple years old, but this is a car. If I said we're going to do a pine car, but we're not going to put wheels on, it's not going to go very well, is it? If I said we're going to put a pine car together, but we're not going to put any weights on it, if you've been part of the pine car derby, you know that the car's not going to do very well. If I said I was going to build something, my kids like Legos, I know a lot of your kids do too, and you're missing a bunch of pieces, the end product's not going to turn out right. And so as a church, I like to just go through what I would say would be the ideal preparation for a life of faithfulness to God. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 4. The Bible says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digs which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Verse 13. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after their gods of the God of the people which are round about you. Verse 15. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. If we were looking at a passage, we'd say there's a great passage for families. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is one of those passages. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 6 says, Thou shalt teach them diligently thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. I'd like to say first to families tonight, a truly Christian home where the Bible is taught and lived. If we were trying to put blueprints down, so the very foundation of that is a truly Christian home where the Bible isn't just talked about and taught, but it's exemplified in mom and dad. Number two, a Christ-centered church. I invite you to take your Bible and do it at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I won't take a lot of time to expound on these much. Kind of mention some things, and maybe you think, is he going to talk to seniors? Yes, I am, definitely. Trying to lay a foundation because to make a point. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 10. Paul's writing here to Timothy, and Paul says in verse 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." You know what Paul's saying? Paul's saying, Timothy, look, you knew my doctrine, but you watched me live it. You saw the persecutions, you saw the difficulties, but you saw this. In everything we went through, you saw a testimony of the faithfulness of God. Verse number 12. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Jump down to verse number 15. I love this verse. "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, whole, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 tells us, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." Parents, what an opportunity it is for us to have a church that we can bring our children to that is the pillar and ground of the truth. Isn't it an awesome thing to be part of Heritage Baptist Church? I say every person who's a senior tonight, every family who's represented by them, is thankful for a church who labored with you in the raising of your children. We had people raise their hand. I saw nursery workers from back in the day. I saw many, many Sunday school teachers and children's workers and master club workers and youth workers. Hey, you know, it's a team effort, isn't it? And what an awesome opportunity is, if we're going to lay the master plan, we want a truly Christian home. But number two, we need a Christ-centered church. Number three, there needs to be a transition from childhood to adulthood. A transition from childhood to adulthood where your walk with God is not based on your parents' expectations and desires, but on the attitudes of your own heart. I think about Ruth. Ruth chapter number 1, and you're probably familiar with it. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16, the Bible says this, "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." You know, one of the greatest days of life of any person is when they see their children get saved. That's the most wonderful day of my life, next to my own salvation and getting married. That's been the greatest days of my life, seeing my children get saved as they're getting saved. But can I tell you, there's a great day that's coming for every one of you teenagers, every one of you college students, every one of you single adults, and even maybe some adults in here. And that's when the Christian life is not about what mom and dad expect from us, but about the fact that God is my God. And I'm not now, I understand, my mom and my stepdad may be watching tonight. If they are, hello to them. But I'm not living my Christian life now because I'm worried what they're going to think. Although I don't want to disappoint them, I understand that. But there comes a day when God's not my mom and dad's God, but he's my God. And seniors, can I tell you something? I think for most of you all, if not all of you all, you've made that transition. But can I tell you something tonight? If you haven't, there's going to come a difficult day. And when you go through difficult situations, your parents' God will help you, but your God will get you through it. And going to mom and dad's a wonderful thing to do, but can I tell you, there's going to be a transition from... And the interesting thing is youth in the Bible, but you don't hear a teenager in the Bible. We read about childhood, and we talk about youth, and there's an age we understand of youth. But you're going to go from being a child and with the responsibilities of your family to being where it's all yours. And I'm laughing, thinking I was last Saturday down in College Station for Reed's college graduation, and thinking about what awaits Reed in the near future. And thinking about Dylan, I wasn't able to make Dylan's on Thursday, but I know Pastor got a chance to be at Dylan's graduation. The next step for Dylan. And think about the fact that childhood to adulthood. And when does that happen? Well, you can argue maybe about when that happens, but there needs to come a time when you go from being a child to becoming an adult. That's part of preparation for a life of faithfulness to God. Number four, a man or woman who personally walks with God. Not just that God is their God, that they've been saved, but he has a daily walk with the Lord. and leads their family and those which they influence over to follow the Lord as well. I think about Joshua in the Old Testament. I wrote a couple things down here. Some dangers to overcome. So we understand that the master plan, if we could have it all right, we'd have a perfect exemplary Christian family. And we'd have an absolutely perfect church that no one ever makes a mistake and everybody is always smiling and bubbly and everything's always perfect. And we'd have a transition from childhood to where, okay, it's time to accept responsibility and God's my God. And we'd have a daily walk with the Lord. But all of us know that although we want that, all of us have failed at some point. All of us can look at our own lives and say, you know what, there's a disconnect. There's something in that model that's not right. And so can I just suggest a few things that we could do as a church family, as parents, and then as seniors? Church family, do not allow failures or inconsistency of others. Well, that means it's a member of your own family, of your own church, to overly discourage you and possibly shipwreck your faith. Your faith is your faith. And I'm thankful for every Paul that's in my life. I'm thankful for a pastor. I'm thankful my pastor growing up, he's still alive. I still respect him. I still love him. I'm thankful for my mom. I'm thankful for my dad. I'm thankful for Scott Pauley. I'm thankful for pastor. I'm thankful for all the men in my life. God's put my life to be my Paul's. But listen to me. I want you to understand this. If they were to fail, if my pastor were to have a bad day one day, it shouldn't shipwreck my faith. If my Sunday school teacher or my deacon, or if the person in our church you have known for forever doesn't do the right thing, look, understand, my plan can still be okay. I want to be guided by them, but do not live your life based on the expectations of others. Understand, people are going to fail you. Just this week, it's been brought up that a person who's in a prominent position in a Christian environment did something very horrible. And it's been brought up, and it was a reminder for me, the verse that says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Anytime you ever hear about someone, I hope you don't get excited when someone falls or messes up. I hope in your own heart, God reminds you, hey, look, that could be you if you don't keep your own heart right. Look, I wrote down some things. This is kind of funny. You could look at someone else and say, you know, I'm not as bad as, well, we could say this. I could blame Moses for having an anger problem. I could blame Sarai for her lack of faith. I could blame Samson for lust. I could blame David for moral failures. I could blame Peter for having a dirty language. I could blame Thomas for doubting and Adam for eating the apple in the first place. I can always blame somebody else, can't I? But isn't it good when we finally look in the mirror and realize, you know what, if Adam ate the apple and he did, and Samson fell into lust and he did, and David and he did, that doesn't mean I can't still walk with the Lord. The greatest decision you ever make when you go and take the next step, seniors, is this. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Joshua said, if it seem evil on you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether God's what your father served, those other flood. And then he says this, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Can I encourage you, seniors? It's coming a good point in your life to begin to draw the line in the sand for yourself. To realize, hey, look, my friends may not follow the Lord. My youth group, I'm not going to be with them every Wednesday night, every Sunday night, every Saturday and for activities. I'm not going to be there anymore. I'm not going to have my school. I'm not going to have my friends. But you know what? I can still serve the Lord regardless. As a church family, parents, can I mention this to you? Do not expect a few hours of church each week to counteract and overcome a home life where Christ is not preeminent and godly things are not honored. These plans are great. But can I tell you the fallacy in a lot of families, I'm not saying families in this church, although it may be true, across our country is that we can do whatever we want and then send our kids off to church and everything's going to come out okay. I'm thankful for the opportunity that parents give Brother Juan and Miss Eva and my wife, and I'm thankful for the opportunity Pastor has given us to work with a teenager. I'm thankful for parents. But can I tell you this? We can't fix the problems, every problem. As a matter of fact, we can't really fix any problems. The Lord can, but why would we as parents expect someone else to fix the problems that we're creating? Parents, it's our job to not expect other people to do our job. I wrote down this. Do not, as parents, reject your responsibility and accountability to teach and instruct your children. Lots of people in this church desire to help you, but remember, they're just partnering with you as parents because you'll ultimately be responsible to God. Seniors, you look at your parents for just a second. Can I tell you the awesomest thing in the world? You have no idea the weight that's on their shoulder. I have no idea the weight that's on their shoulder. I'm not there yet. They're worried right now about the next decision in your life and how you're going to pay for it and what you're going to do and who you're going to marry, and they're worried about all that kind of stuff. But you know what's awesome? Is that there's a piece that comes with that responsibility when they accept it. And mom and dad, can I just encourage you? Maybe your kids aren't there yet like mine aren't. I recognize this. I love this church. But I can't expect the church to do what I don't. It's my job. It's my responsibility. Church family, Do not view God simply as the God of your father and mother, your grandmother and grandfather, your pastor, youth pastor, your Sunday school teacher. We need to know God intimately for ourselves. I wrote down this finally. Do not allow familiarity with or the knowledge of God to take the place of your daily, personal, and growing relationship with God. Can I invite you to close with me in Philippians chapter 3? Philippians chapter 3. I know I've given a couple thoughts here, and I want to close with a thought for the seniors specifically. I've been studying and reading about a man in the Old Testament, a man who's a good man, a man who had a prominent position. His name was Eli. Ever heard the story Eli? Eli was a priest. Eli had two sons. Their names are Hophni and Phinehas. Remember them? Here's what the Bible said about them. They were sons of Belial. It says that basically they were horrible. They did things that in the presence of children I wouldn't even say in church. They were stealing the meat when people came to give a meat offering. And I have this question for you. How could the priest's sons live that kind of life? How could not just people that were around godly things, but people who actually were there at the sacrifices and saw the visible manifestation of God, how could they live such an ungodly life? Can I make a suggestion to you, which may not be true, but I believe it probably is? They got really familiar with the religious activities of God. They got really familiar with this is how things are supposed to be and this is what I'm supposed to do. If you would think about it this way, they checked things off the list. Yes, I was in Sunday school. Yes, I was in church. Yes, I was in Sunday night service and I was at Wednesday night and I even went to youth activities and I went to youth group. And when revival came, we went to revival. And when mission trip came, mission conference came, when Bible conference, you name it. And we can have this idea that those things make this turn out. But can I remind you that those things are just things? They're good things to do. But it goes back to this question. What's the motive for doing it? Why do you do what you do? Philippians chapter 3, I love this passage. The Apostle Paul is about to die. He's in jail and he's writing. And his favorite word to talk about is the word joy. Kind of interesting, isn't it? If I'm in jail, I'm not going to talk about joy. I'm going to talk about anything but joy. Philippians chapter 3, a man who's about to die writes this, end of his life, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12. Not as though I had already attained. Can I encourage you, church family? Maybe you're a grandparent, maybe you're a parent, and maybe you think, this Christian thing I've been doing a long time. Hey, you know what? We can be just as guilty of crossing off all the boxes, crossing the T's, dotting the I's. And we can lose this part of our Christian life. And when we do, we don't realize, but we're stagnant. He says this, I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Can I ask you a question? How are things in your spiritual life? Is there a fervency in your heart to know God? Is there a deep desire to love God? We've been talking to juniors and seniors in Sunday school the last 2 weeks about knowing God and the next step in life. You know what it really comes down to? If I want to know God, I have to know His Word. If I want to know the next step, God's not going to send an airplane to write in the sky for me the next step. God's going to not speak to me in an audible voice. God's going to lead me through His Word and through circumstances. My relationship with God is the most important. A.W. Tozer said this, and I'll be finished. What comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. What comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. May I ask a question, church family? What comes into your mind when you think about God? Who is He? If He's just a dictator in the sky asking us to do these things so that everything will be okay, can I tell you that doesn't match up? And if that's the God that we serve, everything about our lives can be out of whack. Because we think that He's a God in up there and all He wants to do is make us not do things. Hey, listen, you know the great thing about liberty? Is that I have liberty to follow God and obey God, not liberty to get myself in trouble and be in bondage. Seniors, here's the challenge. Parents, here's a challenge. Church, here's a challenge. What an awesome opportunity it is for us to be able to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How is yours? Seniors, don't ever get stagnant. The most important thing about you is two things. Number one, do you love Him? Are you trying to get to know Him better today than you did yesterday? And are you walking with Him? Is He the goal of your life? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's all stand for a word of prayer and the invitation. Father, thank You so much for Your word. Thank You, Lord, for the truth that's in it. Lord, I pray tonight. I pray, Lord, for seniors. I pray for moms and dads. I pray for those, Lord, who don't even maybe have children yet. Lord, I pray for grandparents. Lord, may You help us, Lord. Will You please prod our hearts to make us realize the importance of our personal relationship with You. I pray tonight, Lord, if people need to do business, may this altar be a place, Lord, they meet with You this evening. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.